God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today comes from our gospel reading from St. Luke, chapter 7, as we have, you could say, another miracle. Very often these last few gospel readings, we've been picking up various miracles of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this miracle also parallels the miracle of the Old Testament. In both cases, in our Old Testament reading and our gospel reading, you have a widow, a woman without a husband now, without any other children, and her only son now dies. This is very important because back in this time, they didn't have things like a welfare system. There was no retirement counts, no Social Security, no life insurance. If the widow had a distant relative who would take care of her, that would be great and that would be fine. But in both these cases of Scripture, none are listed. So who would take care of her? She'd probably be too old to work. That would be the problem. So not only are you dealing with the grief issue, and in one essence, how a child should almost never die before their parents, or at least that's the way in society we would expect it, but now you also have the other issue. Who's going to take care of the widow? Well, in our text for today from the gospel reading, there is much weeping going on, a lot of crying. Yes, the grief of a loss of a loved one, but also maybe the uncertainty of tomorrow, so to speak, for this widow. We don't know what to expect when death even comes across our own lives. None of us have ever really been dead and brought back to life again. So we really don't know what's on the other side of life, at least not from personal experience. But notice here in our gospel reading, Jesus comes to this town. There is this funeral procession going on. And notice Jesus' reaction. He has compassion upon her. During Jesus' earthly life, there had been many people who had died. He didn't raise all of them from the dead. But our text for today gives us a little bit of a clue. He had compassion on her. He understood that she probably had no one else to take care of her. She had no resources probably of her own. She was probably too hard or too old to work, so she had compassion. He had compassion. And what does he do? Raises her son from the dead. Now, we may just sit there and stop for a moment and think, can this really happen? You better believe it can really happen. We better believe it can really happen. Can God raise the dead? I certainly hope so. Scripture says it does. We have to remember who this Jesus is. This Jesus isn't some ordinary human being, but who's also true God, second person of the Trinity. In the Gospel of John, it reminds us that Jesus, in one essence, was there, and all creation was created through him. So when Jesus takes on flesh and blood and dwells among us, the Creator comes in flesh to recreate his fallen creatures. We have to remember that once Adam and Eve sinned, they'd helped destroy God's creation. Their offspring were also born sinners from generation to the generation to generation, even to this one. Our Lord and Savior took on flesh and blood for the purpose of recreating what the Creator initially created. He created us to live forever. He created us to be with God forever and ever. But sin happened into our own lives. And so we have to beg the question, can God recreate that which was broken? Can God raise the dead? He showed it here in our gospel reading. In the Old Testament reading, we have how the prophet Elijah, through the power of God, was also able to do the same. Yes, God can raise the dead. But his intention is not one by one, no. His intention was upon the cross. He was going to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, to recreate us, so that we now appear before our Heavenly Father as holy and blameless. Not that we're no longer sinners. Yes, we're still sinners. We still fall short of God's glory. But God now no longer sees our sin and is driven to wrath. He sees us. And because of the blood of Christ, he now sees that we are children of God. Today, at the beginning part of our worship service, we had the wonderful opportunity to celebrate the sacrament of holy baptism. Evan is now part of this family of God. And it's sometimes hard for us to understand our own sinfulness, and for us to also understand that, yes, we have sinned and we have fallen short of God's glory, and because of that sin, we deserve eternal death and damnation from the moment we were born. Even though our parents may be looking at us when a newborn is born and saying, how cute, how adorable he is. But God sees our sin. It is only through the blood of Christ, only through the waters of holy baptism, only through the gift of the Holy Spirit that now God says, you are now my child, an heir of eternal life. Come, receive your heavenly reward. Our text for today, being that funeral and God raising the person to life, gives us a beautiful picture of one of our life with our Lord and Savior. We were dead, plain, simple, to the point, because of our sin. God has raised us through the waters of holy baptism. He has now given us His Holy Spirit. We now are heirs with Him in eternal life. Baptism gives us a wonderful picture of this. There's once a cliche or a phrase that I like to use in connection with baptism. It goes like this. Whoever is born once dies twice, but whoever is born twice dies again, or dies only once. Let me unpack that. If you are only born once, that physical birth, unfortunately, you will die twice. That physical death and that spiritual death to eternal damnations in hell below. But if you are born again, that second time, as the Gospel of John reminds us, as Nicodemus asks Jesus, how can a man be born again? And Jesus says, yes, this is through water and the Holy Spirit. We are born again through the waters of holy baptism. The Holy Spirit now fills our lives. The Holy Spirit enters us. We are now children. So yes, we may die a physical death, but we will not die that eternal death. But we will now be with our Lord and Savior in heaven above. The work of the Holy Spirit does that for us. The gift of faith that God gives to us does that. And it is the Spirit's guidance who continues to nurture that faith so that we maintain that faith and hang on to it. Because unfortunately, in this world of ours, and even in our relationship with God, we can say no to God. We can say no to His grace. We can say no to this gift of faith. And that's why it's very important for the church to gather together, not just to proclaim God's word and administer the sacraments, but to teach these little ones, to teach them the faith, to encourage the parents to proclaim God's word to them, to teach them Luther's Small Catechism, the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, the Lord's Supper, confession, absolution. All these things are crucial. It doesn't just stop here with holy baptism, but is now a continuation each and every day of our own life. But too often, even in our own lives, we fail to remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We may get too busy, too many things may distract us, and so I have to ask you, what do you fear? For most people, they fear death, getting back to our text. There was great weeping going on. But what do you fear? Some people may fear death. Some people may fear losing their standard of living. Some people may fear losing friends or family, reputation, maybe their own boss. What do you fear? As Martin Luther says in the explanation of the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. What does this mean? We are to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. So whatever we fear the most, you could say, is our God. Whatever we respect the most, whatever we honor the most, whatever we don't want to lose the most. But now I have to ask you, as people who claim to be Christians, do you fear God? Number one, Is that the one thing you can't afford to lose in your life? As I mentioned before, we can lose it. We can reject God's gracious gift. Yes, the sacrament of holy baptism does create a miracle. But unfortunately, this miracle can be rejected by man. So what do you fear? On this day, as we see God raising the dead, being assured of our eternal life in heaven above, because yes, Jesus does raise the dead. He will raise all who believe and trust in Him. Now, does your faith become number one in your life? Or is it relegated to number two or three or much later down the list? Who do you fear? As Christians, we say we're supposed to be fearing God, not death. We're supposed to be fearing God, not the economy going up or down. We're to be fearing God, not concerned whether the Cubs make it to the World Series or not. We are to fear God. Only He can bring us from death and has brought us from death to be with Him in eternal life. So notice what the crowds were saying. A great prophet has appeared among us, they said, and God has come to help His people. I'd like to just change the text of the New International Version for a moment. We should probably be saying God has come to visit His people. That's what the Greek really says here. Why do I want to make the change? It's more than just a help we need. We need God with us. God has visited Evan. He is now a child of God, destined to eternal life. God has visited each and every one of us as we have been baptized in His name. And by the way, the same Greek word that is used for visited that occurs here in this text was also used to a young woman, not married. Her name was Mary, the mother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God visited her. The Creator comes in flesh to recreate His fallen creature. So who do we fear? The one who gives us life? The one who gives us eternal life? Or the surroundings around this life? It's my hope and prayer that we come before God and say, yes, Lord, You're right. There are some times I've been attached to the surroundings of life instead of the life that You have given to me, instead of the faith that You have given me to me. Lord, forgive me. And what does our Lord do? Does our Lord ever take that faith away from us? No. It is a precious gift. The Lord forgives and is encouraging you and challenging you to grow in that faith. And so we gather around today to hear that word of God, to grow in that faith, to see one sacrament taking place of holy baptism and to experience another, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. We fear God, not death. So we come before the Lord with the assurance that, yes, as He raised the widow's son from Nain, from death, He will also raise us from death. For all who believe and trust in Jesus Christ have the gift of eternal life. We fear God because He gives us life. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.